33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. I'm Laura Rice, in for David Brown. In the summertime, the kids are off, the pace is a little slower, and a lot of Texans plan to spend some time in all the nature Texas has to offer. But a lovely outdoor getaway can be spoiled in the time it takes to get through a long line trying to enter a park or to get a campground reservation, for that matter. It's long been an issue for Texas nature lovers. At issue is more Texans interested in visiting parks, and a park system that just doesn't have the money to keep up, let alone grow. But a bill passed this legislative session looks to change that, and it puts the potential change in the hands of voters. Wes Ferguson has been writing about this for Texas Monthly, where he's a reporter at large. Wes, thank you so much for stopping by the Texas Standard Studios.
Happy to be here.
Many Texans know the sales of sporting goods items is supposed to support Texas parks. It's been that way since 1993, but is that the full story?
No, it's not. You know, it's the sales tax that was already being collected on sporting goods, and it was supposed to be set aside just for state parks and historic sites. And yet, over the past quarter century, lawmakers never could resist the urge to kind of snag that money and put it back in general funds or give it to other appropriations. And so over that 26-year span, only 40% of sales tax revenue collected for state parks actually made its way to state parks.
And this wasn't even consistent from year to year. It sort of depended on lawmaker whims. Is that right?
Yeah. And you know how secure the rest of the budget looked. Like, there was one session where, you know, they got almost all of the sales tax money, and then the next session they might get nothing.
And so how did withholding this money that was supposed to go to Texas Parks and Wildlife end up affecting the department? I imagine that was difficult to plan if you don't know how much money you're going to get.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they said it was impossible because, you know, they have like all this extensive repairs and upgrades and different things they needed to do. And yet they could only budget a year or two in advance because they just never knew how much money they were going to get. It was described to me as being on a roller coaster ride for the past quarter century.
And so what were some of the hardest hit areas, some of the areas that hurt most because they weren't able to make repairs or grow?
Well, because I live in Austin, I like going to McKinney Falls State mm-hmm. Park. And when I go down to the falls, you go past this, what used to be this beautiful education center by the falls that is just set with, like, you know, caution tape and fencing around it for ever since major floods, I think in 2015, you know, and there's just that story across the state, because their Texas Parks and Wildlife is facing about $800 million in repairs that are needed that they just haven't been able to do.
And not grow either. I understand that there's land that's donated that we could, you know, address some of this overcrowding by opening up new space, but it's just not an option.
Yeah, that's so wild. People who are big landowners have approached Texas Parks and Wildlife and have said, hey, I have like a few thousand acres. I would love for this beautiful land to become a state park. And it was turned down because it's like, you know, how are we going to fix this up and how are we going to maintain it on a year-to-year basis? We just can't do it. That said, there are several beautiful tracts of land that have been, you know, awaiting state park status that have been closed to the public for years and sometimes decades.
So what was the impetus for this to finally change after, you say, 25, 26 years?
Yeah. So there are some really, there's a really committed group of state park boosters that have been chipping away at this like the whole time. And they're the ones who got the sales tax implemented in the first place. And so, you know, they kind of got the ball rolling way back then, and they've just been at it all this time. And state parks are pretty much bipartisan. Everyone loves them, and lawmakers love them just as much as the rest of us. And so there has been momentum swelling for the past few sessions to finally get this done. It fell apart in the previous two sessions, but this time around, toward the end, they finally got it over that last hurdle.
So why not just say, let's make all the sporting good tax go to state parks like it was supposed to be? Why ask voters?
I think the main reason is because it will lock them in, and they'll, you know, just having this ready money right there was just too easy for them to take it. And, you know, the best of intentions only get you so far. But this way, it kind of like handcuffs the legislators and will keep them from raiding that money in the future. It just really locks it in, and it provides the security that our parks need.
And so this will be November election ballot, and we don't, I'm sure, know the language quite yet, but it'll be some sort of yes, no, answer that voters will see.
Yeah, it'll be a constitutional amendment referendum in November. And then if voters pass, which all indications are that voters will support this, according to some polling that I've seen, it would take effect in 2021.
Wes Ferguson is a writer at large for Texas Monthly. He is the author of the book, The Blanco River. We'll put up a link to his story at texasstandard.org. Wes, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.